more time than this on each individual meeting time that you have with people when you get together with them. So my goal in all of this is just to kind of hit the high points, and then I encourage you, make sure you're going through, filling all those blanks in, reading through carefully the material. And if you have questions that come up as you read through it, maybe something was explained a little different than maybe you have explained it or heard it explained in the past or something, or anything to that regard, you can ask me before or after any time. And I certainly would be glad to help bring some clarity to the way maybe it was worded or how maybe to approach it. But even though we're just kind of skimming the surface, I do want to always remind you that you're only going to be able to go so deep into each one of these lessons as you walk somebody through them, because there is no end to you growing in your relationship with God and His Word and through His Word. So obviously, you could spend weeks on this one lesson that we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so on, and you'll have about 45 minutes if you're going to go over it with somebody. And we were going to give you a hard time for sneaking in here, getting coffee, and leaving. So I don't know if you're going to stay this time or not, but it's great. So, everybody loves it when people call their attention to them when they're walking in. So, So as we go, I want to encourage you with that. Now, as we look at this lesson in particular, last week, or not last week, but a few weeks ago, we looked at the lesson on the Bible. And as a matter of fact, that's where the curriculum starts, is looking at the Bible. And so this lesson, I said, well, why is there two lessons on God's Word? Obviously, we just kind of mentioned that a second ago, because there's no end to learning about the Word of God. And the first lesson was more of the doctrine of the Bible, whereas this lesson is, as the heading would give you the indication, is how we interact with the Bible. And so as you're talking to somebody that is either a new believer or maybe a believer that's just never had the opportunity to get grounded in their understanding of the Word of God, what you're trying to do in this lesson is help them to develop a daily relationship with the Word of God. And so the first time it was basically the proofs that the Bible is the Word of God and a lot of those principles. This one is, how do I interact with it regularly? What am I supposed to do with the Bible in my life today? Those are the type of questions that you're going to cover as you look through it. So you want to help them to have a right relationship with the Word of God. And so as we go through, what we're going to do is we're going to look at these three major points. But the key verse at the top, reminder, is the verse that you're going to encourage them to memorize. And so as you get together each week, you're going to say, hey, did you get to memorize that verse? Why don't you say it to me real quick? And you know, adult to adult, that can be a little awkward the first few times probably. But I think by the time you get to this point in working with somebody, that they'll just be able to rattle that off and be like, oh yeah, it's not going to be awkward at that point. So don't forego this one because it may have been awkward the first couple times, because these verses are essential. And if they are a new believer and they never grew up in church, memorizing scripture was not something they did as a young person, maybe that much. And you can have the privilege of helping them to get grounded even in just that concept. And they can at least have 14 verses memorized by the time they finish this program. And so the verse being, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And that's the key verse of this one. As you can understand, that's an important principle to just try to get them into, but not one that you spend a whole lot of time on in the lesson itself. Now, the major points begin with this. God's Word can meet your needs. The Bible is profitable for your life. You want to help them to understand, why do we read, what's the Bible supposed to be like for me now? Well, you can tell them, first of all, the Bible can meet your needs because it is profitable for every single area of life. And that's what 2 Timothy 3:16 tells you. It says all scripture, it's kind of neat because it dovetails with the other lesson on the Bible, which the key verse for that was 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, but it goes on to say, and is profitable. And so what you're going to do is just talk to them for a second about those four areas that are listed out in that passage of scripture. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So basically what you want to encourage anybody with right here is the Bible is the true answer for everything, every question we ever have, every philosophy we ever need to develop. And so this is it. This is a great opportunity for you to take and teach the fact that the Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice for a believer. That's really what you're doing here by saying that it is profitable, it is useful for every single area of life. And so you want that to be ingrained. For you, it is ingrained. You know, this is why when somebody gets up, maybe some psychiatrist or something gets up and shares some of man's philosophy that really doesn't resonate with the Bible, it would be why I reject their philosophy and hold to the scriptures, because the Bible has stated and then therefore proved the fact that it is the sufficient answer for the way that man is supposed to think, because it's God's take on the world he created. And so you're trying to embed that in their minds, because a new believer is going to be assailed with a new paradigm for thinking, or they're going to be trying to adopt a new paradigm for thinking and assailed with all the old. And so you're trying to help them establish that the Word of God is now the bedrock for the way that they're supposed to navigate life. And so you, that goes underneath this God's Word can meet your needs part, because, wow, how helpful is it to know there's a guidebook that helps me know how I'm supposed to do all these things. And so there's a lot more that can be said about each one of those. And you know, doctrine teaches us what to believe. I wrote underneath each one of those, doctrine teaches us what's right. Reproof shows us what's not right. Correction tells us how to get it right. And instruction tells us how to keep it right. And so just maybe a little even simpler way to help. So doctrine, what is right? Reproof shows me what is not right in my life. Correction shows me how to get it right. And instruction, how to keep it right. And so all of those things are covered all in those areas. So next, after that, the Bible is profitable for your life. The Bible nourishes your spiritual growth. And that's what it's talking about in the key verse. This is where it gets referenced once again in those bold ones that you're going to want to try to turn to as you go through it. The picture is that spiritual life is nurtured by spiritual food. And so you want to convey that and help them understand, hey, just like you eat, you're going to want to eat spiritual meals on a regular basis, because if you stop eating healthy physical meals, you would very quickly be an unhealthy physical person. Or if you didn't have, maybe you stopped eating at all, or obviously we'd all not be very healthy if we stopped eating entirely. And so you're just trying to help convey that, because God chose that as a principle to help us understand the way our spiritual life is nourished. And so those two things will help somebody understand how God's Word can come alongside them in every way and can incrementally help them as they go through life. We all know we grow incrementally. We all know we have to eat, we have to drink, we've got to take care of those things. And so it helps to have those very practical ways to allude to things as you're dealing with people. So God's Word can meet your needs. And there's a lot of other things to say underneath that, but that's all we're going to say for today. All right, next, God's Word should be in your routines. Now, this is where you have a great opportunity to teach someone not just the philosophy God's Word can help you, but this is how you can approach God's Word regularly, and God can use it in your life. And the book gives us a few different ways to help them understand this. But the first one is read it daily. How helped I have been in my life, because I was taught until I got a little bit older and into high school to read God's Word every day of my life. And what a great difference it has made. And you're going to want to encourage them with that. Take them to these scriptures. But what really you get to do here is you get to pour into them a little bit, probably of your own personal experience of how you approach Bible reading, how you would encourage them to do that. It gives you here at the bottom of that page that Read It Daily is on. Here's some brief tips to help you gain the most from your Bible reading. Set a time and place to read regularly. Follow a Bible reading plan. Ask God to guide you before you read. Ask questions about what you read. Keep a journal or notebook to record verses and passages that the Holy Spirit applies to your life. Just what you're going to do right there when you're sitting down with somebody is just say, hey, you know, have you ever tried to read the Bible and just kind of been like, what in the world did I just read? And they're probably going to say, yeah, I've never even tried to read the Bible before. And then they might say something like, where do you start? What an open door. Walk through that door. And just say, oh, well, let me tell you, this is what I do. But this is something you could do. And there's plans that are provided inside of this book. Direct them to those plans and say, hey, read through this. Maybe you could consider. If they ask them before you get too deep into it, say, hey, are you a reader? Because if they're not much of a reader, I want to encourage you, don't dump the whole truckload on them all at one time. I am a big fan of reading your Bible through in a year, but not everybody's ready for that in their first few months as a believer. And now, some are, and I'm certainly going to tell you, just follow the Holy Spirit on that, but just always be mindful not to overload somebody in the early moments of their walk with the Lord. Just remember how long it took you to get to that point and realize it may take them maybe not quite so long, because maybe you didn't have somebody taking you through something like this, but just give it a little bit of time. And that would be a helpful thing, because if they can develop the daily habit of reading their Bible, then it won't be very long until they're reading a lot more than if we tried to convince them that they were supposed to start maybe a daily, a through the year plan the first day that they got saved, okay? And so now that's going to grow in them. And so read it daily. Number two, hear it consistently. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what Romans 10:17 says. It's in there. Hebrews 10:25, the bold there also tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But we're supposed to come together. We're supposed to exhort each other. We're supposed to encourage one another. But one of the main purposes of those assembly times is for the mass exhortation of the believers, the teaching of the word of God. And you want to encourage your young believer or your maybe not all that grounded believer that hearing the Bible taught regularly will dramatically impact their lives. And there is just so much. If you remember when R.B. Ouellette was here a few months ago, he was, I think, in the setting in the one of the services was talking about sometimes people are, we don't have Sunday night church anymore or something like that. And he maybe this was just in a personal conversation we had with him, but he was saying, you know, people will say, we stop doing that, or we'll just have one really big service on Sunday morning and we'll try to put all our effort in there. And he just said, well, I just can't, you know, think about what my life would be like if I had not had all the Sunday night services that I've been to. Think back on all the Sunday night services or the Wednesday night services that you have been part of in your life and how helped that you've been. Maybe not every time did you walk out thinking, wow, that was, you know, exactly what I needed, or there was a great life change, but it was at a Sunday night service that I was at, that I stood in front of my church and I told them that I was called to preach. What if I hadn't been to church that night? What if we didn't even have church on Sunday nights? And so just, you know, you think about that. So what you're trying to do here is just, you know, say things to say, you want to be there. You just don't want to miss it. Because the more you hear it, the more it's going to make sense to you. And there's a lot that you don't understand early on. But just by constantly hearing it, it can just begin to sink in. So hear it, or read it regularly or daily. Hear it consistently. Meditate on it continually. Meditate just means to think about. We know that, but they need to be reminded, because sometimes you can say meditate to somebody, and especially if they've not been in a circle like, you know, a church like ours, they might think something totally different than what you mean by meditate, all right? And, you know, they're going to cross their legs, you know, I don't know, what do you mean by meditate? Well, just think about it a lot. Just chew on it. Just think and think and think and think. And it's like what we do when we know a big meal is about to come up and your favorite dish is going to be served at it. And you're thinking about it. I'm thinking about sweet potato casserole right now. I'm meditating on it, right? You know, it's not an out of body type thing. It's just. I'm thinking about it. I can almost taste it, you know? And that's, you're meditating on that thing. And so you're trying to help them understand. Meditate is not a mystical or a spooky thing. It's just think about it, you know? And that's why we're trying to teach them. Memorize scripture. Hide it in your heart. Do those things. And so you're trying to help them with that. And the book has some things you can read through on that. There's even a topical reference guide in the back that may help them with specific areas of something they might be dealing with. If they're worrying or if they're having some different things, some trials in their life, you can direct them to try to help them with some of those things. And then study it regularly. It's the last one, or not the last, almost the last one in this section. Study it regularly. Now, this is another one of those points where you're going to kind of get them started. You know, for a new believer, reading it is about as heavy that they're probably going to be able to do in the study area, right? They're just going to be just trying to begin to soak some of it in. And so I want to encourage you, what you can do at this point, Brother Galleon was talking about this with me last week, just take the opportunity to show them what you do when you try to really dig in. You know, I don't always really, really, really dig into every passage I read. And I kind of go through seasons in my life where sometimes I just want to kind of read a little bit more, but dig a little bit less. But then there's sometimes that I'll spend months in one book, and you know, that's just how the ebb and flow. Or maybe you want to take a topic and just kind of say some of those things to them, but don't feel like you have to give them a hermeneutics class, you know, taking apart the Bible class all in, you know, 5 minutes. All right, you just want to say, hey, study it regularly. If there's something specific, then maybe dig into that a little bit more. Something that somebody said at work that kind of got you a little bit rattled, or something like that, or maybe even a topic that you particularly like, you can help them, and they can even maybe get some questions answered from you as to the right path to know how to do that. Journaling is a great one just to teach them on. And then I guess I missed one in my thing here, but the last one is apply it faithfully. And so the Bible is not just so that we can have information, right? It's so that there can be transformation. And that's what you want to ingrain in them. This is your relationship with God's Word. It's not just so that you can be an informed biblical scholar. I don't know if you've ever read some of the works of some of the most scholarly biblical minds in history, but sometimes it just did not connect with real life. And even today, I mean, I read sometimes scholarly journals written by people, and they'll argue about this, that, and the other thing, and I'm just like, man, you need to just lay that aside and just do the work that Christ put you on earth to do. And we get back to some of the basics. And so that I just say in this setting, I probably wouldn't even say that to a new believer. I just say, just make sure that when you read it, you apply it to your life. Let it inform the way you think. Let it guide the actions that you do. And that's basically what you want to do there. Obey it. Teach them to obey what God says. And that's what we want them doing. And that gets us to the last point. God's Word will transform your life. As you continue to do all those things and apply it to your life, God will change them. And that, what an exciting thing. It is so exciting to see somebody just begin to take those steps and to follow the Lord and the different ways that He's guiding them. And so the book gives us a couple different areas to just mention to them. But the first one is, understanding the Bible increases your knowledge of God. And one thing that it's good to remind people about is, though it's not just a text, it is not just a textbook, this book that we have helps us to know the heart and mind of our Creator. And what a special thing that God would lay out so much of His understanding for us to grasp and for us to get to know. And I'm taking our Sunday school class through a study in 2 Peter, and this week Our study in class, really just the first 11 verses of it, is on the word knowledge. It says, the Bible says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. In Peter, again and again, there's over a half a dozen times throughout the book that he specifically challenges them to grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, or that the knowledge of God is the thing that's going to guide them through the circumstances of life. You say, well, half a dozen's not that much. Well, it's two times more than there is chapters in the book. Obviously, 2 Peter, when you open it up, you don't even have to turn a page to get from one to the other, from one end to the other. And so, not that long of a book for him to emphasize that much. And so, what you can help a new believer is to say, hey, you get to know God. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you. And then the next one is, obeying the Bible produces Christ-like maturity. And what a great thing. You know, a new believer is going to come and maybe even see you, and they're going to, a lot of times when you start working with somebody, they're going to say things, I'll never know as much as you, or how did you ever get like you are, and they'll almost treat you like you've been this way forever. But I'm telling you what, if you knew me as a teenager, if I knew you as a teenager, we'd all probably just walk out the door, right? And I mean, we were not perfect people. There's no doubt about that. And Becca and I, we laugh a lot of times because I think if we knew each other as teenagers, we probably would not like each other today. But thankfully, God had us in different states so we could eventually get married. So it's just one of those things. So she was real behind the scenes, and I was anything but behind the scenes as a teenager. I was the exact type of guy as a teenager that she avoided. So it's great. And so God changed me, but thankfully she stayed the same, and it's all good, all right? But we change. And you are going to help them to understand. You've not always been. Leroy's not always been as great as he is today, right? It's such a great thing. I mean, he's the role model of everybody. And seriously, we're so thankful for how God has worked in all of our lives. But you might think right now, man, I'm not anybody to look up to. But if you're working with somebody in a setting like this, they're going to look up to you. But you can help them to understand that one day somebody's going to do the same thing to them. Because you can just tell them, you know how I got, you know, they might be like, wow. And you're like, yeah, all I do is just all, you know, years of learning to obey. Obey the word of God, apply the little things, and God just changes you over time. And there's going to come a day in their life that they are spiritually mature as well, or maturing. And obviously, there's always a process ongoing. And then continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. You know, when you first start working with a new believer, sometimes they'll come in super excited about something that is totally wrong. They're like, Leroy was talking about Jehovah's Witnesses when we were getting started. And you might have somebody come into you, and this new guy started at their job, and he's a Christian too. And he was talking about how he goes to church. And it's weird though, because they go to church on Saturday. And you're like, whoa, you know, maybe we're not talking about the same type of thing here, right? Or they can get really excited about something that is not quite right. This guy was talking about at their church, they start speaking in tongues and they're going to be fired up about it sometimes because it's Christian and it's new, and they think anybody that calls themselves a Christian is exactly what they're getting when they're here. And you can just kind of lovingly come alongside that. Let me share just a couple things about that. But the point here is you're going to teach them that as you continue to read the Bible and learn more about it, it's going to help you to be able to discern between what is right and what's wrong, and what path you should be on, what you shouldn't, and where you should go or shouldn't go, and all those different types of things. But it's great to be able to see some of those times. And those are memorable times. They're really funny sometimes. And you can laugh about them once they're gone. And then months down the road, you can laugh about them with them. And it's a joy. But be prepared for those times as well. And don't get overly discouraged. Don't be like, what have we been doing for the last month and a half? Because their zeal is a lot of times the thing you want to just praise and recognize the good in it, okay? All right, so in the application section, there's just a couple things that it encourages you to encourage them to do. Last week in the prayer lesson, it talked about encouraging them to set aside a time daily to pray. And so this basically just dovetails with that. And then this is teaching them, hey, why don't you set aside a time to read your Bible every day? It even gives a blank. And it does a good job just kind of saying, hey, maybe this would be a good time. Pray first, read your Bible next, that would be a great time to try to begin to develop that habit. And then develop a habit of applying God's Word. This is where I would say that journaling or some other concept to accompany your Bible reading is helpful to teach them to do. Because me personally, if I don't write something down, it really probably went in one ear and out the other ear. If I don't write something down, and I kind of have a process where I'll write in one journal and I'll come over to this other one and I'll write some action items from it that I can take and actually apply. You know, you can tell them some things like that and just try to help them to develop a way to apply the Bible as opposed to the nebulous, I'm going to try to, you know, whatever, or yeah, I guess I'm going to keep that in mind as I go throughout my day. And then make scripture memory an ongoing practice in your life. And so that's another one that ends that lesson on. But I've probably spent more time in one lesson than I should have because I only have about 15 minutes to finish this one. Okay. All right. So we're going to move on to the lesson on the Holy Spirit. But before we do, any questions on anything that I just said that you'd say, hey, I'd like to jump in or say something there? It's really just my excuse to be able to take a drink of water. Great. Awesome. Okay. So, developing a relationship with the Word of God. Now we're going to get into the Holy Spirit. And this is a lesson that could take a massive number of different directions that it probably doesn't necessarily even take the one that you would have probably charted for it. But what I love about this, the content of this lesson, is it helps take the relationship that we have with the Spirit of God and make it much more practical than sometimes we are able to maybe help somebody understand or somebody would naturally understand it to be. You know, the Spirit of God that dwells within us is the avenue by which we actually have our relationship with God. And there are a lot of groups of people that have totally, and we mentioned obviously speaking in tongues a second ago, that have totally misinterpreted the concept of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, and it has muddied the waters so much so that sometimes we forget that the Holy Spirit is the personal manifestation that God has left on this earth for us to interact with Him. I mean, that the Spirit of God makes the transcendent God, the God who is way above and beyond everything we could ever imagine, close to us in a very personal way. And so the Holy Spirit is not, it's not missed. It says even here on page 138, what does it mean for your life on a daily basis? How does the Holy Spirit work in our life? It is not, is it mysterious or mystical, or is it real and practical? And the answer is, it's real and practical, and the Bible makes that really obvious, okay? And so, we'll skip by that because we'll come up to that in a little while. But, so, and it does, it's practical in several ways, and here are some of them for us. So, first of all, the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. You remind them what the Bible says as Jesus was about to leave the earth. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and that He may abide with you forever." In lesson number two, as we looked at the lesson of knowing God, we broke apart that God the Father is God, God the Spirit is God, God the Son is God, but the three are one. And yet then we moved on. It says here in lesson four that Spirit indwells us. We cover that in the lesson on salvation. But now we're going to see how He ministers. And the first one is He's the divine comforter. What a great joy it is to be able to tell somebody that has gone through trials in their life in the past, not as a believer, that as they go through them now as a believer, the Spirit will be with them to comfort them. Or when some question arises in their mind, that the Spirit is there to come alongside. I went to right before I came here, or went home right afterwards, but ran out. There was a viewing for somebody, a family member of somebody who doesn't even come to church here right now. But I found out about it, and I slipped out to the viewing real quick, and I was able to talk to the family for just a little bit, and just be able to remind them, not that they necessarily needed it, but just as it always encourages us during those times, that God is just right there along the way with us in those moments. And they said to me that the person who passed, they weren't sure that he had ever accepted Christ as his Savior. And yet they have, and they know what it's like to go through a trial with Christ. But think about if they didn't have Christ in their hearts, in their lives, the Spirit of God comforting them, even though the circumstance is so sad in that regard, but how much more tragic it is. And so you get to encourage people by saying, hey, the Spirit of God will comfort you in ways that you can't even always articulate. The Spirit comforts you. And what a great joy it is to be able to explain that. Go through these verses with them, and that'll be a very great help to them. Number two, he guides you into all truth. Show of hands, how many of you have ever read a section in a book, or maybe an entire book before, that you did not understand? Right? You'd be like, I don't know what in the world that person just said. Wouldn't it have been nice to be able to just ask the guy who wrote it, or the girl who wrote it, what did you mean when you said that? You know, you can do that with the Bible. And that's what you get to tell a new believer. Hey, the Spirit's right there with you. Just ask him. Just say, what do you mean, God? How does this work in my life? He guides you into all truth. The Scripture makes that very clear. When he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you into all truth. And so convey the thought that it's actually the Spirit of God that helps bring understanding and lightens our eyes so that we can go through those things. You say, well, where'd you come up with that idea? You look in the conversation starter right there on page 139. You realize I just used that on you. And it says right there, have you ever been reading a book? You wish you could ask the author a question. See? They're right there. And so I was just trying it out. See how it worked, right? But no, it's a very helpful thing. And you can use them just like that. You don't always have to say, hey, look in the margin real quick and at that conversation starter. To read that with me. Just use it. And you'll know it's there. You try to read through these before you meet with them. That'll be a very great help. And then the next one. I skipped one. He, meaning me. Again. So he empowers your witnesses coming up. But first, he strengthens you for service. And just help them by turning to some of these passages of Scripture and showing them that the Spirit renews our hope and gives us energy from within to do the work that God has asked us to do. Later on in this book, we're going to talk to them about the spiritual gifts. I just mentioned a while ago that mercy is, I said it's one of my spiritual gifts, but I actually meant it's not. And if I ever take a spiritual gifts test, mercy is really far down in the scale of how I score them. And so that's me, and I work on mercy, and I don't have an excuse to be like, well, God didn't make me merciful, because, you know, the Bible also says, be therefore merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And obviously, God is merciful beyond all of our wildest concepts. And so, what we tell them here is God strengthens you to do the things he asks you to do. And we'll get into the spiritual gifts later with them down the road. And he empowers our witness. And that's the one I had right there. And so what a great thing to be able to tell them as well. Each one of these just little points really to make along the way, that when you share the gospel, God will help you to share the gospel. And you want, when you're talking to a new believer, you want to embed in their heart and in their mind that sharing the gospel is one of the most natural things that they should ever do as a believer. It took me a long time to get to the point where I started sharing the gospel. But when you start talking with someone, you start meeting with them, just make it as normal as anything else. And then also tell them, hey, you're going to share the gospel with people and they're not going to respond the way that you hope they respond. But know this, the Spirit of God works when you share the gospel with people and in ways that you can't see, and is going to work on their hearts. We prayed for people this evening. My dad, I've prayed for a long time. Annie's dad, that she has prayed for a long time, and I've been praying for it. And we've seen God work through scenarios that Julia, I'm sure with your brother and sister, times in the past where God brought them a little closer, at least in our minds, in our eyes, that we could say something like that. And you can tell somebody, hey, if you share the gospel with somebody and they don't respond the way you think, just keep praying, keep sharing, and keep trusting that God will use what you say, even though you may never get to see him use it. And so share those things with them. These are ways that the Spirit ministers to your heart and helps you through your life. And then the next one, being filled with the Spirit makes the Christian life work. It says here, there's a blank right underneath that in your book. Have you ever considered how impossible the Christian life is? Truthfully, trying harder to be better in our own strength is an exercise in futility. But the Holy Spirit empowers change in our lives from the inside out. And we're going to see how this works. So that I just read that paragraph to you, just like I would to somebody that I was sitting down across the table from. And just say, hey, you can't do the Christian life successfully without the Spirit. But thankfully, he's there. And this is how the scripture, number one, instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. Teach them what that means. Being filled with the Spirit is not all that complicated. It just means let him control you instead of control yourself. An intellectual understanding is not complicated. It gets complicated when you try to do it, right? But the great thing about it is being filled with the Spirit is a passive thing in the sense that I don't fill myself. He fills me when I yield to him. And just to encourage them with that, just say every day, try to begin your day and throughout your day, try to go throughout and say, God, I want to yield to what you would have me do in this moment. And if you approach life that way, you're going to walk filled in the Spirit. And that gets us to the next one. So we want to be filled with the Spirit, but we want to, as scripture does, instruct us to walk in the Spirit. So what's the difference? Well, walking in the Spirit is regularly responding to the prompting of the Spirit. It is literally yielding on a continual basis. That's basically what that would be. So we understand we want to be controlled by the Spirit of God, but walking in the Spirit is the actual outflow of that determination to so be. And so basically, the gist is just make the decision to respond to the Spirit in that instance, and then that instance, and then that instance, and you're just telling them that. You're just saying it every time. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. It's not something that you really have to get into deeply. It's just a matter of saying no to the flesh, yes to the Spirit, and to let God work through that regard. And then the next one, Scripture warns us not to sin against the Spirit. So how does the Spirit work in our life? Well, by filling us, by helping us walk on a daily basis in him, but then also by being careful not to sin against the Spirit. You know, a new believer will have times when they deviate from the path, right? You've done it and I've done it, so they definitely will. And so what we want to do is we want to encourage them, teach them what it means to grieve the Spirit, to quench the Spirit. Those are principles in the Word of God in regards to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we do something against God, it grieves the Spirit within us. If we do enough of those things, it will quench his work in our lives. He won't work like he had been working. And we can get, a new believer can get discouraged. Everything was so exciting in the first, 6 months, but now I'm here and I've kind of fallen back into that or this, that, or the other thing. And just, you can prompt a little bit and say, well, maybe there's some sin between you and God that just needs to be brought out, just needs to be confessed, and try to help them understand that that's part of our relationship with God, and it is accomplished through the Spirit within us. And then the fruit of the Spirit, the next one, the last major point here, is evidence of his transformation in our life. So we were looking at transformation in the last section, and we kind of get to it here again. This is not one I put these in here, but this is something that we all know pretty well. This, the fruit of the Spirit, if you turn to Galatians 5:22 and 23, or it's right there for you, the Holy Spirit produces all of these things in our lives. And what you're trying to do here is not give them a great dissertation on what, you know, biblical love is, or joy, or all those different things, but help them to understand that when you walk in the Spirit, it helps you be like this. And they can have a picture in their mind of what it's going to be like as they grow in Christ. And what a great picture we get to present to people. Isn't it awesome to say that when you grow as a Christian, you're going to be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more long-suffering, more gentle, more good? You're going to have more faith. You're going to be able to approach things with more faith. You're going to be more meek. You're going to have greater temperance or self-control in your life. If you could say to anybody, just walk up to anybody on the street and you have that list memorized and you could tell them, hey, or but kind of launch the conversation like this, hey, what if I could tell you there's a surefire way to be more loving, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, gentle, good, meek, temperate? Wouldn't you want that? Who's going to tell you no? Who doesn't want to be joyful? We all know somebody that doesn't really want to be joyful, but they even want to be joyful. They just forgot. But who doesn't want that? And you get to tell a believer, you know how you get that? Truly get that? Not by turning over a new leaf, not by, putting your best foot forward or any of that, that mumbo jumbo stuff that people try today. The Spirit actually helps produce those things in your life. What a great thing to be able to teach to a new believer. And so those are some things for us, and I put them all up there just because I missed so many other things. Might as well put those up there. So what you want to do in the application is just challenge them to make a definite commitment to yield every part of their life to Him. To daily reaffirm their commitment to yield to God, and then specifically ask the Spirit to develop the areas in their life that they are lacking in. And so those are just a lot of words at the end. So that kind of brings it back down to the practical aspect as you look at some of those things, and helps you ground yourself too, because it can be a little bit easy to get lost in some of the explanations. Sometimes you kind of get back to the application, and sometimes even for me, even in this setting, it kind of bring me back home to being like, okay, yeah, we got to make sure that we get the practical thing in here, help them understand some steps that they can take as they go forward. And so that was 16 minutes of something that you'll have a little bit more time to go over, but those are principles that will help them understand that the Holy Spirit in their life is a personal relationship that will transform them in all of those different ways and will help produce those qualities in their life as they go. All right? Well, that's that. So next week we won't meet because I'll be out of town. And then the following week we will go over the next couple lessons. But that'll be the last time that we will have, I believe, if I have my dates right, we will have before we officially actually want to try to get some people lined up on Wednesday nights to meet together. And so I'm not going to be able to take you through the rest of the content unless I figure out and finagle some other time or way to do it. But we'll talk about that a little bit more next time that we get together. And that'll be the week between Christmas and New Year's. All right. And so that's what we've got for tonight. So we're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed. And I'm going to slip over to this bus workers meeting. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us today. Thank you for all that we've looked at tonight. Lord, I pray you'd bless everything we looked at. Help it to continue to turn over in our minds as we try to wrap our minds around it so we can convey it to others. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we go a few weeks from now to try to actually begin some of these relationships. And Lord, I pray that we'd be able to connect with the right people and just see what you can do through this. We do pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for everything we've looked at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.